Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Maybe they could bring back Dexnav, because it looked like somebody was creeping in the grass, too, in the trailer.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 379th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my scrumptiliumptious co-host, the first of which being the whale himself, Dr. Shamu.
Hello.
And then we have the man with a plan, the man with the teams, Seth Vilo.
It me.
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that I came up with in 2007 to create an awesome Pokemon community where we have fun. Welcome to the show if you're new. Welcome back if you're old. We've got a great show lined up for you today because, obviously, this is just like the hype time in Pokemon. And this is the part of the three-year cycle that's just like the most hype. And so, honestly, six-year cycle, but we can get into that later.
Doesn't matter. Hype. Yeah. Hype is hype. Yeah.
The hype is there. And so, welcome if you're new. I'm sure we have new listeners this week. And so, our show today, we talk everything Pokemon from the video game to the trading card game to spinoffs such as Pokemon Conquest and Pokemon Park Wii. Poke Park? Is it Poke Park or Pokemon Park?
I think it's Poke.
It's Poke Park.
Pokepark, okay. And so Pokepark, we talk everything Pokemon. You get the point. You can listen to past episodes, listen to this one, I don't care. But the show today, we're going to open up just with a little chitter-chatter about what's going on in our lives and how things are going. And then, of course, we're going to be talking a little bit after that about some news that came out, not the big story, obviously, because we want to really get into some meaty discussions about that. And then, of course, after that, we are going to go into our Poke Quiz segment where we quiz your co-host on their Pokemon knowledge, followed once again by we're going to talk about that Sword and Shield release in quite some detail. And then after that, we're going to wrap it up with a Pokemon of the episode. I think today is especially fun, especially if you like wearing sombreros.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to go to the mailbag. And then today, on top of that, we're not nixing the mailbag for this week, actually. We have an interview from a couple weeks ago that I did with JPR PokeTrainer 98. So that's going to be at the end of the episode. So it's a packed episode this week. It's going to be really long. So let's get right into it, though. So what have you guys been up to lately? How are things going?
That hasn't been much. It's just been the UTC finished. I believe, no, it's not finished. It's almost done.
It's almost done. I think there's like one more match. I think
we're at the finals.
I think it's this weekend.
Yeah.
It's this weekend we get the final.
That's wrapping up. But not much else really been going on for me, Pokemon-wise, other than the PTU cast stuff.
PTU cast
still
is
going.
It's a thing. It's a thing. Get early access on the Patreon. Patreon.com/PucklePodcast.
Slip that plug right in there. Good job.
You just gotta slip that in. We gotta plug ourselves, right? What about you, Seth? How you been doing?
I've been doing good. I didn't get sniped too bad on my draft.
Oh yeah, Puckle Draft League started. That's right. Puckle Draft League started. We should talk about that for a little bit.
Between the last episode's recording date and this one, the draft happened, so
that's true.
That was good. Most of my picks. I got my Reuniclus, so gods be with you.
Gods be with you. Hope you brought a dark type or a bug type.
But then that's the week that I bring you know, something completely different.
Focus Blast Ridiculous.
Focus Blast. My favorite one that I want to bring someday. I know I'm kind of giving away my evil strat here, but Specs Regenerator Future Sight. That's something that I'm excited to bring.
Oh, God.
That'd be hilariously awesome.
Like, oh, I'll switch this into this, and then I switch out after launching one of those. I go into something else. It starts to set up, and you're left between, do I leave this in to die, or do I let him get another boost?
Well, it's like every week in Upple when we're team building for Upple. We did our Upple battle this week, actually, by the way, against the Nagano Pangoro for Luke Loves Pokemon. You can check out his podcast over on any podcatcher that has Pokemon podcasts. He's always there. We played against him this week. We took away a pretty decisive victory of 5-0, but he's just a good guy. He's just a good guy overall. So we're like 5-2 now. I think we're 5-2. It's week 7. There's 4 more weeks to go, and then playoffs.
Nice.
I'm feeling pretty confident we're making playoffs.
Probably.
I'm feeling pretty confident. We'll see, though. We will, in fact, see. And then, yeah, I mean, that's what we've been doing. I moved, too. So, like, this is the first time we're recording in the new space, the new studio. Seth and Shamu are in their old places, but I'm in my new place.
You let me out of your basement, finally, now that the flooring is done.
It's not done. That's the problem.
I lied. Dang it. My lie is seen through.
It's so close. It's like I plan to try to work on it some more today and hopefully get it done, because all that need, like, I need to lay down like maybe another like 5 rows of laminate, and that takes like 3 hours, and then I'm done. Like,
nice.
That's all there is to it. There's not much left. It's almost done. We'll see how that goes, though. It's getting close. I might build a studio down there. I'm not sure yet. It depends. I hope that I can get some streaming in this week. I'm not very confident because I have to make a trip for work to Ithaca, New York later this week.
Delightful.
Yeah, it's just, Ithaca and New York in March. Everybody's dream, right? Upstate New York in March. It's just going to be the best weather, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I need to go up there for work. So like I'll be out Wednesday through Friday, essentially. I'll be back Friday night. So maybe I'll stream Friday night. I really want to get a stream in. But with the move, I just haven't been able to, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's this is a good place to stop. We can come back. We'll be right back at you guys with the news segment. So let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to the news. The news has a few things in it. First, we're going to look at Pokemon Go. So in Pokemon Go right now, Dialga is the new raid boss. I heard there was a hiccup, though, in them actually getting it out. And like some areas still had Palkia while others had Dialga as the Tier 5 raid boss.
That's a design choice because, you see, it was supposed to start, but Dialga didn't do it right. And Palkia was like, nope, this is my space.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
It was all intentional. That's how it was supposed to happen.
Time, you know? It wasn't his time. Okay. But then they released Smeargle finally, and it's from using the new Pokemon Go snapshot mode where you can take pictures of your Pokemon in the AR settings. And if you do that, Smeargle will photobomb it, and when you back out of the camera, he'll be out in the wild, and he'll be ready for you to catch. So
He also copies the moveset of whatever you were originally taking a picture of.
Oh, that's cute.
That's neat.
I heard new moves cost infinite candy.
Something like that. Because I don't think he's supposed to have... Like, he's supposed to just have the moveset of whatever you copied.
Yeah,
I think
so too, yeah.
So that's... If you were to just get it with no moveset, that's what it would be, because it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. It's silly. It's silly and cute. I'm a big fan. But yeah, Smeargle is out in Pokemon Go, so yay! And this was also Pokemon Week, and so you probably already missed it, but there were Shiny Rattata and Shiny Pidgey now in Pokemon Go as well.
Thank heavens.
That's what we were all waiting for.
I was waiting. My life is complete. I can stop playing Pokemon now. This is my last everything.
Also, because it was Pokemon Week, we got another Detective Pikachu trailer. It's not that much different. It just like really tries to hype up and say you have to say Pika Pika or something like that. They're trying to make that their slogan. or something. So there's two things I really love about this movie. And it's one that it's got a super wide appeal to the point where my mom tells me about it.
Right?
All of the time. Like, she's like, did you see that movie? And I'm like, yeah, I heard about it like before it was even released or anything.
Yeah. Same thing happened on my end. My mom came back from some movie theater where she watched a movie. Oh, we saw this trailer for the Pokemon movie. Have you heard of it? She was all thinking she was going to tell me for the first time. And I kind of played along like, oh, yeah, really? But, you know.
No, like, yeah, it's got a really wide appeal. And this one's got the best Ludicolo thing that ever happened.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, we just need a movie about Ludicolo now. Can we just, like, scratch attack Pikachu and Pikachu 2 and just get, like, a Ludicolo, like, barista game or something? Like, you do just make coffee. It's like Dino Dash, like, but with Ludicolo.
No. One of those mini games from, like, Gen 5 online where you had to go and do all those dumb mini games.
Oh, you're talking about the original Global Link.
Yeah, do that with, like, serving coffee. Ludicolo serving coffee.
Yeah, we don't really need Detective Pikachu anymore. It's got a Ludicolo. That's all that matters.
That's true. Yeah, we've got the Detective Pikachu. The more and more I see of this movie, the more and more I'm falling in love with the art style. Like, it's just realistic enough that I'm okay with it, right? And it's unlike what we want to talk about next, which is the Mewtwo Evolutions trailer, which they tried to make this jump to CGI. And personally, I don't think it went well. So for those of you unaware, Mewtwo Evolutions is the next Pokemon movie that is coming out. It is Pokemon the movie. I guess this is 22. This is 22. And this is the 22nd Pokemon movie. They're just remaking Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back, but in CGI. For whatever reason, I don't know why this was a choice that they made.
It's just the first movie.
Yeah, I don't know why they made this choice. So, like, when we first saw the Pokemon a few episodes ago, we talked about it, and I said, it looks good for the Pokemon, but I want to see the humans. We finally saw the humans in this trailer.
And I wish we didn't.
I wish we didn't. My real reaction is they're in the middle, right? Like, it could have definitely been worse.
Absolutely.
I saw it going worse.
They look like claymation almost.
They do. Yeah. And that's, I think that's kind of what they were going for. They're semi-realistic, but still the same cartoon proportions.
It's just hard because, like, they look like claymation when the Pokemon look actually like CGI animated.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're used to seeing a Pokemon as CGI, and the Pokemon itself looks claymation, in a sense. Mm-hmm. I've seen those YouTube videos of, I make Rayquaza out of clay, and it just looks like the Pokemon. We're not used to seeing a human in Pokemon cartoon proportions, so that's what's tripping us up.
That's really, I don't know, it'll probably grow on me, but I don't know, I'm not as excited for this either. I don't think this is a movie that I'm just like, man, I can't wait to see what's going on, because I know what's going to happen. I really feel this was just like, oh man, let's sell some more, let's go. That's what this movie feels like to me.
I'm excited for this. It looks really good. Like, the CGI motion and everything, it looks really clean. They put a lot of work into it. You even see Charizard's throat, like, expand and light up when he's about to launch a fire attack. Like, it's actually kind of... It's not quite the reality of Detective Pikachu, but there is a lot of CGI awesome work in this, and I'm personally really excited.
I want to see a little bit more. Like, I want to see it in the theater and see what happens. Just to see the whole length and then come out being like, meh, that was not anything more than I expected, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away by the latest movie, The Power of Us. I was really blown away by that. I thought that one was really done well. I think this one's just going to be kind of jarring for people who aren't nostalgic for the movie. Because there are some anime plot elements that are stuck into the movie, right?
Yeah.
And because the first movie wasn't like the rest of them, where they essentially like found ways to not incorporate them into the overall plot. This one, in fact, like was incorporated into the plot of the Pokemon movie or the Pokemon TV show at the time. So it would be really interesting to see what they do. Like, if they really want to take full advantage of it, I think you go to Disney XD or whoever's playing Pokemon at the time. And you have them run, like, a season one marathon.
Yeah.
Just so the kids can get caught up on season one of Pokemon. And it works really well with the Let's Go angle as well.
Yeah.
So you do that, and you get Mewtwo, and then you go see the movie just after that. I mean, I guess in the U.S. this wouldn't be until, like, November, but...
Probably not.
Just something to think about.
The thing I want to see with it is, how do the mouths move? Will they move like the language that it's spoken in, or will they do the anime open-close thing?
Oh, man, that's going to be hard to dub. That's true. Man, I didn't even think
about everything being
that.
So hyper-realistic, mm-hmm. how will the mouths move? That's my question.
It's going to be interesting to see this movie. I don't know how I feel about it yet. And this is definitely one of the riskier things I think they've done. Like, they're just going to take and, like, kick an old property in the nats. Like, it just feels like that. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, maybe this is good because maybe they can use this to, like, as an effort to refocus the movies. Because it kind of feels like they've been all over the place lately. By lately, I mean, like, the past 4 or 5 years. Where they're just like, yeah, we're just kind of phoning in these movies with, like, the Megirna movie. And stuff like that. They're just kind of phoning them in. And then they did, you know, the 20th anniversary movie, which I thought wasn't bad. And then they went ahead and they did The Power of Us, which, again, I didn't think was that bad either. And then they're just like, I'm like, oh, this is an interesting direction for the movies to take. And they're just like, hard right turn. We're just remaking them now. I'm hoping they're using this as an effort to, like, refocus and be like, and they're taking the time because they don't actually have to write a new movie to be like, okay, how are we going to make a good Pokemon movie from here on out? I think it has a lot to do with just the anime. Maybe the anime's ending. Maybe we're getting like an Ash Ketchum ends the anime type deal.
You're hilarious.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Yeah, we can hope, but they won't do it.
Man, if we could just get an anime that is more like Pokemon Adventures. I say this time and time again. Pokemon Adventures manga. Get an anime more like that, or maybe just get an anime that reboots the main character every like generation. Right?
They do. Ash gets new sidekicks every season.
That's awful. That's not the
and
way.
That's
to
the main
do
character,
it.
Not the other one. So it's like that's all they do. They just kind of like swap characters out.
Yeah, exactly. It's not really the way to do it. I'd much rather just have the other anime do that, right? They swap out the main characters every, you know, couple seasons or every season or something like that, and that's fine. I think that would work really well for Pokemon. I think it would be able to make it a more Pokemon world-centric story as opposed to what we have now, which I feel like is just filler plot all the time. That's just me, though.
Well, I think it's marketing to kids. That's why they're not. They've got Ash, who they had forever. He's an iconic character. They don't want to switch it up and then kids not be aware of who that is. And also for the fact, too, if you're saying make it more Pokemon Adventures, that would be taking away from the kids' like genre to a degree. If we're making it like Adventures, you're going to have an Arbok getting sliced in half.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying just copy it exactly, but maybe up the age. And I have an argument for this, and it's that the age of the Pokemon demographic has definitely grown with Pokemon.
Oh, it has. It's just a thing that if they make a separate one for the older audience, the younger one's going to find it, and the parents will find it. Like, why is this being labeled as Pokemon? Like, you're going to have that whole issue with just the younger audience still being
You could
young.
Say the same thing about just general anime, though, looking like cartoons.
I know.
Right?
Allow me to remind you that Pikachu curses in the Detective Pikachu movie.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Well, I really would like to see a refocusing of the anime. Maybe just a second anime, right? You keep Ash, let him do his thing, then run a parallel anime where we get new stuff. And then make the Pokemon movies about that. Like, and then you just end it every season, just like you would any other anime, right? Where they have, like, one movie per season or one movie per arc or something like that. I think that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something to throw out there. But we will stop the news right there, and we are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Pokal's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. So Shamu and Seth today are going to be operating as a team. They cannot use the internet. They can only use one another to try to answer a series of 5 Pokemon questions that all come from our community over on our Discord. You just go to the trivia channel and you submit your questions. You do not email them to us because these guys can read the email. They cannot, however, see that trivia channel. So please make sure you go and do that. We like doing it. It's great listener interaction. And that chat has just kind of gotten to the point where it's like really cool. People are just dropping random trivia that we can't use in the show, but you learn some cool Pokemon stuff along the way. They will be competing against their fellow co-host in a battle to 30 points to see who gets there first. They have a chance to get a possible total of 7 today, 1 for each question, 1 for one of the questions with a bonus point, and another one if they don't use their lifeline, which is a hint, throughout the entire series and get all the questions correct. So if you guys are ready, we are going to see if you guys can change up that leaderboard.
Yeet.
Yeah.
Yeet it is. All right. So our first question is going to come from one of the people on the Discord that I forgot to write their name down. And it is, in Ruby and Sapphire, how many tiles of water on Route 119 can you find Feebas?
Oh, no.
Oh,
I want to say three.
Is it...
what do you think?
I thought it was actually much higher, but it's just like, it changes.
Yeah, well, yeah, it changes, but at any point you can find it in...
It's the same number of tiles.
Yeah, in this number of tiles. It's three or eight. I don't think it's eight. It might be five.
I'm literally thinking so much higher than that, because I thought it kept changing depending on, like, it randomly.
I'll give you a plus or minus one on this, but as well. I'll give you a plus or minus one. So you got a little bit of a window.
I really don't know. If you're thinking that, I'm thinking, like, 30s.
Oh, no. It's single digit.
It makes sense, single digit, too. Should we just go, like, four?
We could go five, because that's kind of right in the middle.
Well, I'm saying if we go plus or minus one, then it's, like, three to five. I think four.
But it could be six, Shamu.
It could be six, but then it could be three.
I need an answer, guys.
Yeah, let's go with my gut. Let's go with four. Why not?
Four is unfortunately out of that window. The answer is six.
Damn it.
It is six tiles in which you can find Feebas, which was absolutely awful, because I think it was still like a 5% encounter on those tiles.
So, no, like, I think it was really high on those tiles.
It's
still minimal.
Fine. We could talk about it another time.
Yeah, different trivia.
I also forgot to mention that this segment is brought to you by Anime Gravy, and that when these guys get to 30 points, they will be winning $20 worth of a Puckle Tea Public credit to get that sweet, sweet Puckle swag.
Woo!
All right, so you guys are 0-1 right now. So our next question, these next two questions kind of go off of each other, so just pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
What typing is the most uncommon in a dual-type Pokemon? So of all dual-type Pokemon, which type is the least common?
And this includes Megas? I don't think it...
Yes, it includes everything.
It includes everything. Okay.
There are several that are exclusive typing.
No, but like one type that gets matched with other stuff.
Oh, a single type that gets matched with others. Okay.
Yeah, which one gets matched the least amount?
Gotcha. Well, we know it's not flying, because that's matched with every single type.
Yeah.
Normal
might be one of them.
Not anymore. Not after Gen 6.
Oh, yeah. No, they did, like, fighting and some others.
Yeah, I want... My immediate gut says Ghost or Fairy, because Ghost hasn't been paired with too much, but Fairy is still really new.
You've got Ghost for the generic type. You've got Ghost Electric.
This is total number of Pokemon, by the way, not just, like, which types it's been with.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, like, not unique combinations. This is total Pokemon.
Yes.
This one that would take more than a minute to figure out.
you just have to go with your gut here. That's what you're going to need.
So it's might
more
be
like
a
rolling
type
a dice.
It might be a type that's... conveniently, I was just writing out the types on a piece of paper before we started, just to test my memory. Electric also comes to mind, because that type in general is sparse.
Yeah, I kind of agree with electric. Wouldn't be water.
No.
Wouldn't be... Fire's got a good amount.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, electric, ghost, or fairy.
I'm kind of...
Or dragon.
No, dragon seems got enough.
But there aren't a lot of dragons, per se.
But there aren't a lot of mono dragons. Why am I helping you? I'm not helping you.
Because
I
it's a confusing question, because it's like, how many of alternate types are there? No, wait, how many of just this combination, but also not combinations, but also... So it's a little odd.
I need an answer. You have to give me a type.
What you think, Shamu? What's your gut telling you?
I'm thinking electric, honestly.
Let's go with it, I think.
Electric is unfortunately incorrect. The answer's ice.
I'm okay with
that. Only 29 Pokemon are actually ice plus another type.
I'm okay with that. That's fine.
That's fine. Yeah. Ice, baby. So this next question, unfortunately you're 0 for 2, but this next question is actually bounces off of that last one, and I think you'll know the answer. What typing is the most common in a dual-type Pokemon? Of all dual-type Pokemon, what do you think is the most abundant type?
Water, probably?
I don't know.
I know single-type waters exist, but like...
I was going to say normal.
Oh.
Because you get every single bird except Talonflame.
and Zapdos and Moltres and Articuno.
Well, I mean, like, they're legends. They're not the bird.
But are we talking about, like, normal type? Dual type? Just like, how many Pokemon are this?
How many? So what type is the most abundant amongst all dual type Pokemon?
All dual types ever.
Yes.
Each dual type, it counts one for each of those types. And what number is the highest at the end of the day?
Yes.
Okay.
I think this one's pretty straightforward. This one should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
I really don't even know. I think water or normal, but
yeah,
I
water
don't
or normal,
know.
I think, would be the options there. But there are a lot of pure
There are a lot
normals.
Of pure of each type. Yeah.
I'm gonna need an answer.
I hate you,
my
Thatch.
My brain does not work. My brain's not
and
working.
And whoever gave us this trivia, I hate them too. Because that's a weird one. Now that we finally understand it, we have like 10 seconds left. Want to just go with normal, see what happens, YOLO it?
Sure, at this point, yeah.
YOLO. Normal.
Normal is unfortunately incorrect. The answer's flying, guys. Come on. Like, there's one pure flying type Pokemon. One.
Oh! Okay. Okay, come now that on. I finally understand the question, can we,
And then I was trying to drop the hints in there with the Articuno, Moltres, and Zapdos.
Well, that's because I made the
early.
Bird comment.
Yeah, Lando early. And, like, Tornadus,
okay.
Or Thunderous, not Tornadus.
I was thinking, that was a weird question. That was weird.
All right, so I'm going to give you guys a chance to redeem some points here, because you guys are going through right now. This next question has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 answers, okay? So this is what I'm going to tell you. So it was originally going to be your dual point question. I was going to make you say four of them for a possible 2 points. However, now what I'm going to say is for every one of them you name up to four, you can get a point. So you can get a total of 4 points here.
Oh God, here we go.
So if you name all six, you get bragging rights.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to know, and you guys should be able to figure this one out. What Pokemon can keep their ability while Mega Evolving?
Oh, okay. So...
Scizor.
Yeah, Technician. Yep, Scizor is one of them. What does Steelix get?
Sandforce. No.
Sandforce. Okay, that's not it. Audino gets Healer? And it can have Healer?
Yeah, Audino.
Because it's like Regenerator, Healer, and something else.
Tyranitar.
So that's... Tyranitar, yep, Sandstream. Trying to think of anything.
Not Slowbro, not... Any of the Gen 1s, the starters, I mean.
Yeah, not that.
Blaziken.
Another deck. Blaziken, yep, Blaziken's another one. That's 4 so far.
I want to get another one in there because I'm not positive on Audino.
I would go for all 6 if we can.
Oh, there's 7. I miscounted.
There's 7?
Oh, there's 7 of them. Okay.
Not Sceptile, not Swampert.
Nope.
Latias and Latios.
Yeah, because they keep Levitate. No, it would be that last one just in case.
Searching. Brain. Not Sableye, not Mawile, not Medicham.
Yeah, Medicham can see huge power. So it'll be Medicham, Dilaudid, Tyranitar, Blaziken.
Scizor and Audino.
Audino. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Are those your answers?
Those are our answers.
Those are all correct. The person that wrote the question missed some of them, like Audino and Medicham, but those are both correct as well. The other answer that you could have gotten is Abomasnow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Weather setters in general, yeah.
But we'll give you 4 points for that, because you guys did real well there.
Woo! We did it.
All right. Our next question is, as always, a base stat question. But however, Thatch is running out of highest base stats for typings because it's been God knows how many episodes. So we're going to start going to second highest and sometimes lowest.
Oh.
So I think you guys will know this one. You still have the hint as well. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't think you'll need it.
Auto cash in.
But I want to know the rock type that has the second highest defense stat.
I want to play my hint card. I think I know what it is anyway. It's probably Aggron, but... Something else has it, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I know Shuckle's got the highest.
Shuckle's got 230.
Oh, no, it's Regirock, actually.
So this is
Regirock's
a hunk of chocolate.
Yeah, it's Regirock. I forgot Regirock has 2. I forgot the Regirock at 200. I'm like, it's Regirock.
That is correct. Aggron's at 180. So
And
I knew Aggron was 180. I just forgot about the 200.
Actually, the answer is... Oh, I misread. But we'll say Regirock. I gave the wrong hint. The answer is actually Stack Attacka.
Oh, prime number, whatever.
Yeah.
130. Regirock's got 200.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, never mind. I misread that. For some reason, I have... No, Stack Attack is at 211. Never mind.
211. Okay, you said 231. That's
his attack set.
That's
his
attack, yeah.
I apologize.
How dare
for that confusion. He's the third highest, but we'll take it. I would have, instead of saying he's a hunk of chocolate and love, I would have said he's a brick house.
Yeah, wouldn't have gotten that. I don't know.
Yeah, right? So, all right. So, that gives you guys 5 points for today after Woo! That rough start.
Oof.
So we are going to go ahead and change up those standings and see how that goes. So, that gives Seth 14 points and Shamu, your first five. For this trivia cycle, so let's go ahead and let's format this.
I want that Kona Diamond Head's tapestry.
Oh yeah, that tapestry though. All right, so in first place, tied, we have Scrawn and Whimsicott with 17 points. In a close third with 14 points, we have Seth Vilo. Basket is in fourth with 12. Linian in fifth with 11. Sublime and Bosifus tied for sixth with 10. Jushiro in eighth with 6. Dr. Shamu in ninth with 5, and R. Sigma in the rear with 4. It looks like it's still anybody's race, honestly. Like, that's actually really close in like the top 7. That's still really close. Anybody's game. So, well, tune in next week, guys, for another episode of Puckle's Poke Quiz.
Hey, Puckleonians, it's Sublime Manic. Can't get enough of your favorite flip-flopping podcast? Then check out our social media. You can find links to our Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and YouTube all from our website, PucklePodcast.com. And you can join our Discord to hang out with your favorite hosts and other Puckleonians. Also, check us out at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, consider subscribing to our Twitch channel. You can also check us out at YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. And we also have a Patreon if you're able to give anything at patreon.com/PucklePodcast.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be obviously the release, or not release, but the announcement of Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield from this week's Nintendo Direct. Lots of people have been like, I'm too excited to know what's going on here. Like, I really want to know what's happening. I really am excited for this. And I understand why. Like, this is a, I mean, it's a Pokemon release, a new generation on a new console. This happens like once every 6 years. This is more infrequent than Christmas. And we're about to just go deep dive into everything that we've noticed about it and just our expectations and what's going on. So first of all, Seth, I'm really upset that you're here because it is actually taking place in England. And I'm very confused by that because I guess like it's not that wild of a guess that it takes place in England, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that all of the PokeTubers from England were like really into that idea. I'm more upset by that than anything else, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that they were just like into this idea and they got nowhere. They got exactly what they wanted out of it.
I'm thrilled. I love it. I'm so excited.
It's an interesting environment. I mean, I'm like,
well, so my initial reaction to seeing the trailer. So this takes place in the Galar region, the first region without an O. We get this region and you see the artwork and you see the environments. And the first thing that I thought when I saw the entire trailer was this is Gen 6 Part 2.
Yeah.
Electric Boogaloo, which I'm okay with because everybody was like, man, I want Pokemon to take risks. And I'm sitting over here. I'm like, after Sun and Moon and after Let's Go, I am perfectly fine going back in my safety zone.
Bring me back like, some formula.
Yeah, give me back a little bit of formula because I'm a little worried about this direction you're taking, Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really happy with just looking at the overall design of that and seeing how it's going. And it like I said, it feels very Gen 6.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with. And I'm like a little part of me with all the trains going around. Remember that train station in Kalos?
Mm-hmm.
The train to nowhere in Kalos?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, maybe we'll get that train to nowhere in Kalos. I can only hope and be disappointed.
There's a couple of like rails on the map that they show.
There's several rails on the map.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I really hope that maybe we get back to Kalos. Because France and England, like in real world, aren't that far away from each other.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the Kanto and Johto of Pokemon, so, I would assume. Yeah. I would like to see that, though.
Yeah. Could be, like, there's some interesting things on the map. And like.
Oh, yeah. That map is super high res, too.
Yeah.
Like, as we say with the trains, one of them goes into a mountain that just doesn't really come out.
Yeah.
So that might be a battle area. Like, it might be our, like, nice old batter frontier factory, whatever you want to call it. It could be to Kalos. It could be anything. We don't know. It's hidden. It could be a new town. They just don't show on the overworld. You don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm really, really excited for it, though. Like, I mean, I'm assuming we don't have the whole map, because they typically do hide something from us right at the beginning. Like, even with Sun and Moon, they hid some stuff from us initially.
There's probably a couple areas that they, like, have hidden under something or behind something. Or there might be a little bit, something to, like, a couple islands that they didn't throw in there, something. Mm-hmm. You never know.
If only there was some island next to England that they could reference.
There's an island.
Ireland?
But... Yep. That's the name.
Are you talking about the country of Ireland?
That's the name. I was being extremely facetious.
Well, what's really interesting is if you watch that trailer and you like really break it down frame by frame, there's a point where you can see, I think when they're in like the quote unquote London equivalent, there's actually four flags with distinct logos on them, very similar to how England has four flags because the UK contains four countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that happens, I would expect there to be at least some kind of equivalent of Northern Ireland. Hopefully this is really timely with Brexit happening as well, like politically. But I don't know. We'll see. I want to see how they handle the whole Ireland situation. I'm wondering if that was the reason they withheld Ireland. Is honestly because of Brexit, because that's gonna be a mess. But I want to see how they handle Ireland. I think it'll be in the game. I think we're gonna get some kind of regional thing with that, right? Like Wales, England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. And then maybe we just get Ireland. I'm kind of hoping for like a Sinnoh-esque deal where you go there in post-game.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have like a fun little, set of missions over there like you did in Gen 4, which I thought was really cool and really well done. Yeah. And it was the last time we pretty much got anything like that. Well, I guess Unova, you got like story. Half the region to explore, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Meh. Who cares? It's Unova.
Yeah, pretty much. Just about.
I'm really excited for it, though. Like, I am legitimately excited. In the first time in a very long time, I'm very, very excited for it.
Like, I'm excited for the games to see what they bring. Well, it's like the hill. I don't know what it's called. The one in, like, the Pokemon on the hill or the... whatever, the Sussalt figure or whatever it's called. I don't remember what it's called. But
yeah.
But that's obviously a Pokemon. It's obviously something we're going to see later.
Yeah, some kind of mythology.
Yeah.
Something.
It's right by the Stone Edge on the map, too. The Stone Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would be really interested to see if there's going to be some kind of plot point there. I don't know. We're obviously going to get more news about this. Probably not until May. If it comes out before May, I'll be super excited.
Yeah.
We might get like maybe something small, but it's not going to be a major news thing. Like,
I will probably get legendaries. Or legendary.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, there's only... That's the thing about the hill drawing. There's only one.
There's only one hill drawing, but it looks nothing even like the ones in the cover art or like the logos that we got. Like the logos are very similar with like this one wolf on either a sword or on a shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I found really interesting.
Like, they could keep...
That could be the middle legendary too, though. Like the Rayquaza of the generation, but most likely I think we're probably... There's multiple theories of what we could have for our cover legends.
Mm-hmm.
I would be okay with a break from the formula where the cover legends aren't... It's not two cover legends. Instead, it's one cover legend, maybe two forms.
Yeah.
I really am a fan of that idea. It was like just the one legend. So
also, if we break down the trailer frame by frame, there's like a wolf type dealie on the back of one of the gyms.
Yes. In the soccer scene. In the top left area of the soccer scene, there's a running...
Well, I think
what
the soccer
like
stadiums
thing.
Are your new gyms
yeah.
for the most part. And if you look at that map, there's only five of them. This is a really horrible segue to that. But there's only five of those gyms looking on the map. But what was brought up to me was that there are also three additional soccer pitches on the field in addition to that. So it brings your total to eight.
You can also, in the city that's in the middle of the map, the very reddish tinted one, you can see one in the background of one of the clips from the trailer.
Oh, okay.
You can't see it on the map, but it's there.
I think we're going to see eight. I welcome the return of gyms, and I welcome the return of... And this is probably the most controversial thing that I like out of the trailer. I really like that random Pokemon battles are back.
How dare you?
And they didn't keep the Let's Go Overworld battles.
How
No.
dare you?
I mean, you can say how dare you, but I personally enjoy that more than the Let's Go because... I don't know, so... It gives you kind of a sense of excitement to see what you're going to find in the random battles. And Let's Go, like, oh, yeah, that's not what I want. And you just sit there and you wait.
That's
and I feel like that's less engaging. I really think it's way less engaging, which is awful. I think that this is a much more engaging way to do it. And maybe they could bring back Dexnav, because it looked like somebody was creeping in the grass, too, in the trailer.
Yeah.
Bring back Dexnav.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. I think Dexnav is the best middle ground between a let's go style type of wild encounter and the traditional Pokemon wild encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the perfect mix of the two, because you can see, like, especially now, because they're going to have the processing power, you can definitely put in, like, tails for all of the Pokemon or features from all of the Pokemon that's sticking out of the grass instead of just, like, generic Zigzagoon tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's something that would be really, really interesting to see. I would really like that. Just, you get something like that sticking out of the grass. I don't know. Other than that, the trailer was just, like, it was very hype. It was more than I expected.
It was beautiful. I love the music. I love the graphics. Like, that one scene when the girl trainer is in front of the lake and you see the water.
Mm-hmm.
That was gorgeous. And the actual, like, I want to say cottages, but the buildings, the structure, the architecture that you see, all the animated layers of all of the buildings. I am hyped for this game just to look at it and be there and put it on my TV.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. I'm really excited for it. I'm waiting for the E3 announcement of separate Switch.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It happens with that's what happened with the 2DS too, by the way. Like, just in case people don't remember, because it has been 6 years. So, like, there's been a whole cycle that people just don't remember. The 2DS was released, I'm almost certain, as, like, half just a Pokemon machine. Because they were just like, well, the 3DS cost, I think at the time it was like $200 for, like, a brand new 3DS. And that was when it was just like the little one or the XL.
I think it was like 180 to 200. Depending.
Yeah, it was like 180 to 170, I think, for the little one and 200 for the XL.
Yeah, something like that.
And that was a little pricey, but then they're just like, here's this $80 Pokemon machine so you can play Pokemon.
At the time, it wasn't 80. It was like 120 or 130.
Yeah, but it still came out at the same day as Pokemon.
It did. Yeah, it came out the same day, and it was cheaper than the higher-end ones.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But then they later reduced it to like $80.
Yeah, it's like $80 right now. It's disgustingly
now it is,
cheap.
Yeah.
So I suggest going to pick one up if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
If you still want to play Sun and Moon, this is a great time to just go pick up a 2DS. Even like the 2DS XLs right now are super cheap. They're always on sale now too. Like I've noticed they're like, you can get it for $150, but if you look around, you can probably find one on sale for like $130.
Yeah, or like get a coupon or something with.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some sort of sale if you wait a week or like every other week, something like that.
Yeah, like I swear something. It's on sale at least once, twice a month. I'm really excited for that though, and I think this is a good time for us to transition, because not only did we get the region, the name of the games, we also got the starters.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Grookey, the grass monkey. We got Sobble, the water iguana thing, I guess. And then we've got the Score Bunny, probably the most unimaginative of all of the names, the fire type bunny rabbit.
Firefighting.
I hope he's not firefighting.
It's gonna
be firefighting. Really want like. So there's a couple things. One, there's a rumor going around with like the final evolution types and everything of the starters. And I think they predict that Score Bunny will evolve into like Fire Steel or something like that. But this is also the time, like, I don't believe anything on 4chan. Like, anything that's come from 4chan, I just don't believe at this point. because I don't remember the last time anything came out of 4chan. Maybe it happened with, what's it called? I think it happened with the Sun and Moon starters. Their final evolutions got leaked. I don't even know if that was on 4chan, though. They did get leaked. But other than that, that's the only thing that I think legitimately came out of 4chan ever in the past 6 years for Pokemon.
Is this rumor that you're talking about the one where it looks like the rabbit's in a spacesuit?
I don't remember. I just saw the typings, because that's all I was interested in.
It's got like the puffy jacket and looks like a rocket kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that art has the Sun Moon starter girl in the forefront, as well as if you alter the image a little bit, accidental watermarks appear on it from Facebook and stuff. So
I don't know. My favorite prediction slash just like concept, that this is just me thinking about it. I would love to see it become fire electric.
Yeah.
And because it's a bunny and you make it the Energizer bunny type deal, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's fire electric. That's a new dual typing, and it'd be a really cool typing to see, because I don't think we've had a starter become an electric type ever yet. So that would be really interesting.
No.
We've had a starter become a fairy type. Not an electric.
And dragon, in a sense.
Kind of a dragon. We'll give it that half, yes.
it's like a 0.5, because it 10, but not, like, basically.
Yeah.
You have to go through a third, not third party, but, like, almost kind of like that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anything that's on 4chan, though, I'm just not a big fan of believing. I mean, I would love to see Sobble as well. Like, the one thing that I noticed is Sobble kind of just, like, sat down after it came out of the fountain in the trailer, and it, like, held its hands in a particular way.
And it like made in a me circle? Think, like, right, just, like, holding
well, it
something.
Made me think of, like, an Alakazam pose, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, that'd be really cool to see it become become a water psychic starter.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool. Get an offensive water psychic type for the first time ever. And then Grookey's probably going to be like ground grass or something weird.
Interesting.
Ground fighting. I could see him being just like Chestnut Part 2.
If anything, I don't know. I'm trying to think of whichever one screams fairy the most. I don't know why I'm stuck on screaming fairy, but...
I would say that would either be Sobble or... Sobble or Scorbunny, probably. I wouldn't think Grookey.
I would think Grookey's possible because I don't even know a really good because.
I kind of agree with that. I've got a gut feeling any of them could be. I don't think Sobble would be myself. Like,
yeah.
If Sobble's anything, Sobble's going to be like psychic or ghost.
Because it's essentially it's based off of a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
Chameleon and a species of salamander. I have a friend who's a herpetologist, and he... immediately called out that typing, so or that species. He identified it, and let me see if I can pull it up.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm pretty okay with it. I'm a member of the Sobble squad myself. I get to go back to my water types because I've picked water types for every single game except for Sun and Moon because Rollet. And that
honestly, yeah. Starter wise, I kind of just wish we can get a rehash. Because I don't like any of these at the moment. Like, Final Evolutions will probably change my mind for sure. It's just, right now, like, nothing. I don't care about any of these.
So, I agree with you to an extent. But what changed my mind was... Because I've said this several times already, right? This feels like Gen 6 Part 2. Which is realistic because England and France are pretty close to each other culturally and geographically. So that makes sense. And in the same way, if you kind of just put the starter pictures together and you look at those versus the pictures of the starters in X and Y, because we got the starters at the announcement of X and Y as well back in January of 2013. And I remember looking at those starters and being like, meh, they're pretty okay. And at the same time, like when I first saw these starters, I said, meh, they're pretty okay. And so the last time we had a water starter squat like Sobble, we got Greninja. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you've got, I think Grookey is a pretty good Chespin equivalent too. Like, if you compare them to the Gen 6 starters, I would say, oh, wow, I guess they're about the same.
They
and
look
then you
very
remember
close.
How awesome they came out, right?
Honestly, yeah. They look very close.
So
like
that's the one thing I think if you're on the fence about, like, oh, the starters don't look as cool. Because, like, I will agree with you and say I think the Alolan starters popped a little bit more when we got their announcement.
Yeah.
They popped because I think they were more of just, like, that one solid bright color. And that makes sense for Alola, because it's supposed to be a very colorful region. Granted, we're in England now, so I don't know why it's just not foggy and cloudy all the time. but I think if you look at the comparison, though, between Gen 6 starters and the Gen 8 starters, you'll just see a load of comparisons that you can make compared to the Alolan starters, which were supposed to be different to begin with. So that's just my two cents on it, right? I'm very excited. I'm very excited for a lot of the UK listeners that we have to be very excited for these games as well, just because they're obviously going to be hyped. Like, hey, my home country is presented in the Pokemon world. I'm still waiting for that Ohio region where we get one new Pokemon that gen, and it's Corn.
And the northern part is like all ice.
Yeah, it's Corn, and it evolves into soybeans. and that is the new Pokemon for Generation 10. Pokemon Midwest.
So it'll be like, what, 4 years? So we're going to like write that down in the calendar for 4 years from now. We're going to get
I think it's like 6, because that's Gen 10, right? So that'll be on the next piece of hardware.
oh, dear.
Yeah, maybe. We'll write that down. We're going to get Pokemon Midwest version.
The Switch SP. It's got like 2 screens.
Stop.
Just fold it.
Folds on top of it. Stop it.
You got 4 Joy-Cons.
No.
4 people on one console.
Joy-Con's off of itself.
I want to take it back just a few steps and just ask you guys, like, what do you feel about us going back to, like, the more familiar formula? Like, from what we've heard, we're going back to a more familiar formula, at least.
I'm excited for it. The familiar, like, I want to know what they bring. Like, what what the trailer has just done for me, like, I guess hype-wise, is just like, okay, what new are we going to get? What can we look into? What can we kind of, like, theorize? What can we...
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things can we, like... I don't know what they look forward to exactly, but it's just, what are they going to do? I want to know what they're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big thing for all of us. What about you, Seth? You mentioned it a little bit, but...
Yeah, I really like the fact that it's, for lack of a better word, going back to roots. Alola changed up the formula a lot. Let's Go obviously changed it up while also keeping it the same, but that's kind of neither here nor there because it's a different identity. I like this a lot. Like you said, it feels like Gen 6 is finally getting some kind of return. We're getting Z that we never got before in the form of Sword and Shield.
Wouldn't it be awesome, just like as a complete aside, because they might have had that Z content ready, but we're just like, 20th anniversary, we should really put out like a new game.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Z content already to go. Like, I guarantee you, like in Z, you were probably going to go catch the Zygarde cells or something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And they would integrate that in the plot. Wouldn't it be cool if they took a lot of that Z stuff and they just shoved it into this in the post game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get the Z episode instead of like the Delta episode.
I wouldn't even like if I would.
That would be kind of cool.
So like, if they want to take this to the next level, right? If we really want to see Pokemon push itself a little bit more, I would be okay with them bringing back Kalos as like a region at the end in the post game. I know I'm building up like expectations right now, and I don't think it's going to happen because it hasn't happened right in a very long time.
Yeah,
it happened once, and that wasn't even like a recognizable pattern in the Pokemon world.
Yeah,
but it's something that the fans have kind of been asking for pretty much since it happened.
Exactly, like, that's what I was about to say. Like, it's been asking for it since Gen 2, so I have a feeling at some point soon they're going to actually just.
They have to break down, and we didn't get a return to Kalos like every other region.
I don't think that's something that'll happen at all, number one. But if it does, I think it would just be in the third version, or versions, since that's now a pattern. You know, your two lines thatch. Your 2 points make a line thatch.
This is me just kind of going out there, like on a limb. I don't think there's any data to support this. I just think that the ingredients are kind of there,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, like I said, we didn't get the third version of Kalos. We got to the Valola, we've got to the Unova, we got to the pretty much everywhere but Kalos. And even when we were in Kalos, people are just like, oh man, maybe we can go to England in the post game, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if that's kind of what they're going for here, right?
It's entirely
I would like
possible.
To see that. This is something I would like to see. This is kind of just a wish list. Not something that I think is going to happen, but a wish list. And giving some reasons why it's more likely to happen now than in other times, right? And that's all I want. Like, that would be a really cool post game. I'd be okay with it. I'm sure everybody else would be okay with it. It just depends on whether or not Game Freak actually took the time to move it over there. That's the only thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, though. I mean, it could be timed really well with, like, the release of Gen 6 in Pokemon Go, maybe? I don't know. No, it wouldn't be. Gen 5 would come out. It needs to still come out, so.
Well, Gen 5 will come out this year, then Gen 6 next year, which will be when they're starting to think of third version.
I don't know. I'm hoping that we just don't get like a lackadaisical third version like we did with Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, right? I would be more okay with Gen 4 remakes at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Far more okay with that. Getting a Gen 4 remake instead of getting proper second version. Like, if you're going to do it, do the Gen 6 model. Don't do the Gen 7 model in terms of releasing.
Yeah. Was there any...
But we're probably going to get Let's Go Gold and Silver
yeah.
in between then, or at some point in the next few years as well, just because Let's Go sold really well.
Yeah. Was there anything else from the trailer that we're missing?
I mean, there's a lot of things in there, and I don't want to sit here and like do a frame-by-frame analysis, mostly because we're a podcast.
Yeah.
And there's other people that have already done that and would just be regurgitating information. I just brought up a few things I thought were interesting from that, kind of like supported the things we were talking about. So I don't really want to like break it down much further. I think we'll have much more to talk about in the near future, whether that be May or whether that be May or maybe April, maybe. We'll get something before E3. I think we'll get the legendaries before E3.
I don't know. I guess one thing I really do hope they do bring is just different like Wi-Fi stadiums, because I think they kind of are hinting, or at least a good art, like even the soccer stadiums, I'd be appreciative of.
Right. Well, even then, like, I thought the battles looked really clean and polished, man.
Yeah.
Because I saw that one clip of Lucario and Tyranitar. That's what I literally saw when I first saw that.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're going to have an actual stadium.
That looked really clean. Yeah.
And I just don't know if that was just an in-game thing, like, it's like a gym battle.
It looked like an in-game gym battle.
Yeah, I just hope they can at least bring that to the to the Wi-Fi and the multiplayer battles. Even if it's just that one stadium, like, I will be okay with that. It's just more detailed and it looks nice. It's not like our generic battle stadium we have now, which is just like, what, blue?
It's like blue. It's awful. And, like, it's like digital onlineness, and it's just like, go away, Pokemon, you're drunk.
You're in the Cyberverse. Yeah. That's all you're, it's like, no one cares.
We can also hope for the PSS to make a return in some fashion.
Oh. Yeah.
One, that'd be great.
One item I want to bring up that's kind of speculation stuff is in the Japanese logo, you see the little tiny Pokeball.
Yes.
And in the past couple games, that's been a hint towards a new mechanic of some sort. Like Mega Evolution had the Mega Crystal. Last generation, it had the Z Crystal there. And this looks like a Pokeball that's kind of split in half. Looks almost like GPS markers. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. But what do you guys have anything that jumps out at you for that? I've got a couple ideas, but I don't know.
I could see it being something. I don't know. I hope it's not like Pokemon Fusion. I would also be okay with no new mechanics in this one.
So I had an idea, and I don't think it's gonna happen. But with the names of Sword and Shield, what if it's like Pokemon can form change? Like you have Aegislash, but on command. Like there'd be both, like, here's a defensive form, here's an offensive form, you click this to switch it once or something.
I don't like
making my Pokemon
Yu-Gi-Oh
defense mode.
It could be a thing. It could be essentially a form of Mega Evolution, but with just like a one-time thing during the battle. But you have Pokemon who have forms that can
I don't know that there's much that they can do to really improve, like, battle mechanic-wise compared to, like, Megas. Megas are one thing. That was cool. We got Digimon.
Yeah.
And then I think Z-moves were the only way to, like, really upgrade attacks in any sense. And I think if you start going back to forms, you're just... I think you're complicating it and you're making Pokemon more complicated than it needs to be, right? Because if we look back at Mega Evolutions... The reason they did Mega Evolutions is because they wanted new forms of old Pokemon just to kind of refresh them. And if we start doing it again and like under a different name, that just it seems very nonsensical, and it kind of comes back to like the full circle, like how we have to go through every game now and find like, oh, I got to find the DNA splicers. Oh, I got to find Hoopa's magic lamp. I've got to go to this game. I've got to go over here now and find the red and blue orbs.
Like, personally, I'm okay with that part, because I guess at least some people it's a hassle, some people it's more, here's a little bit of a post-game to, like, go find these items.
I'm okay with how it is now. I'm not okay with the idea of having that happen for 50 Pokemon more than once. We already have that with Mega Evolution, right? Like, we have to go get 50 Mega Stones.
I don't even think you need a Mega Stone or anything like that. I'm just assuming it's, like... It'd be something that Pokemon can fundamentally do, and then
I would be okay if that's something like with a certain like set of Pokemon, new Pokemon.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like you have a certain set of Pokemon that can like switch forms once per battle. Like the switching form would be like a once per battle mechanic. I don't know if they would or not, but like that's my what I'm mentally thinking. And it'd be just like, hey, this certain strain of Pokemon that are specific to the Galar region, or for some other whatever reason they're here. Can do that, or even maybe like a legendary or something like that. I don't know. Like, I'm just, but with Sword and Shield and the possibility of even one legendary, that might be what they're gonna go with.
I'd be okay with it just being for the legendary. Like, if it's just the legendary, we're done. I'm okay with that. But if it's for every single Pokemon, I'm not okay with that.
I don't know if it's gonna be as much of a form change kind of thing. I see where you're getting it, but I don't know if it's gonna be that intense and complex.
I don't know. It just came to mind. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
It's a thing they could do as a gimmick, because they're gonna bring some gimmick. They've done it last few generations.
Want to know a gimmick? I think it could be the Pokeball is the same color as the Joy-Cons, and if you detach the Joy-Cons, what if there's a human interaction you can do with the Joy-Cons during battle? Like
that would be cool.
You have
I'd
the option
okay
to throw your Pokeball. You have the option to attempt to. I don't know. This could go full PTU and have the trainer be more involved, because that's something else I noticed in the trailer, is that the trainers are still there.
I think that would be an interesting... Well, I think the trainers need to be there, just because they were in Sun and Moon, and that added a lot to just, like... I felt like that helped immersion a lot.
Yeah, and it semi-confirms the return of Z-moves, in a sense.
It would be really cool to do that, but they already stated that these were going to be focused more on the handheld experience.
Yeah. But,
and
I mean,
I could see you doing it, and maybe they integrate like the Let's Go capture mechanic into it somehow. Mm-hmm. As like an option, as an option, not as like a
option
requirement.
Would be nice,
and
I would want to do it forcefully. But if they let me, I like, hey, that might be something to have fun with. At some
point. Exactly. Like oh,
kinda
hey,
like the
let
Ultra
me throw
Wormhole
this.
Stuff was just like, oh, this is fun for a little bit. Yeah. Like,
I think that's the only place like where they mechanic. Can really improve now, because like we already did stuff with moves, we did stuff with the Pokemon themselves evolving, and I think if you want to do something that's not rehashing like an old mechanic that they had already done, I think what you do is you play with capture a little bit. I think that could work out really well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking at right now. I don't know that I want to say too much about that, other than you're right. Those are the same colors as the Joy-Con, and I think that might be more where they're heading with it. It could also just be like, hey, look, cool new Pokeball stuff. Hey,
yeah.
I don't want to make a claim, like, because they're gonna throw something out there that I'm not going to expect. And we can sit here and speculate all we want every day, all day, and it's gonna literally just come down to how did Pokemon feel about that?
It could just be an Easter egg too, though, because like they have the little Game Freak like language, whatever, on the stadium.
That's cool.
That people are like, "What looks... is this?" But like, it looks like some sort of like language, but it's just
Game Freak. Looks like Kurth Runic from Tolkien. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. All right. I think this is a good place to end it, though. We're gonna end it right here, guys, and we are gonna kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode after this short break. We will catch you guys on the flip-flop. Are you excited for Sword and Shield? Well, you should check out the Puckle Tee Public Store to get all of those t-shirts, all that Poke swag, get some Sobble merch, get some Score Bunny merch, maybe even some Grookey. Support which gang you're in by wearing a t-shirt, buying a mug, tapestry, pillow, pretty much anything over at Tee Public. Everything you buy over the Puckle Tee Public Store helps support the show, and we really do appreciate it. So while we're in this time of hype, go check it out. Maybe there's something there that might tickle your fancy. So check out the Puckle Tee Public Store. Link in the show notes down below.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon this week is, oh no, oh no, oh no, I closed the page, is National Dex number 300, Ludicolo, the carefree Pokemon.
And the Pokedex entry from Alpha Sapphire that I picked randomly, upon hearing an upbeat and cheerful rhythm, the cells in Ludicolo's body become very energetic and active. Even in battle, this Pokemon will exhibit an amazing amount of power.
It was hilarious in Pokemon Colosseum. with the Mir B theme. Every time I see a Ludicolo, I think Mir B.
Was it 4 or 5 Ludicolo and Dragonite?
Yeah, I was like, well, that was at the end of Gale of Darkness. I think in the first one, it was like 5 Ludicolos and then like a pseudo Wudo. It was always like 5 Ludicolos and then the Shadow Pokemon. Those games are good. I need to go sit down and replay those. Those are always fun. Once I finish my basement, I'll put it up in my basement. and then Seth can come over and we can play Pokemon Colosseum.
Perfect.
We've made a plan. Huzzah.
Excellent.
Get that helping hand Dusclops, you know?
Oh, man, that helping hand Dusclops. Really clutch Pokemon to get to give away.
Oh, yeah.
All right, but we got a team for you guys this week for Ludicolo that Seth put together. It's actually really fun. I've played it, and this is the first time in a long time I've been like, man, Seth, you did a good job. You didn't forget to bring hazard setters.
Okay.
Or hazard removal.
Okay, wow. That's a weakness I have. I know it. And it sucks because I like using Pokemon like the one in this
one. I was talking to Whimsicott about it recently, about how the teams you've been building don't have very much hazard removal, and like I have to tell you we need to put hazard removal in the team. And she said, yeah, he's not used to it. He plays stall. It doesn't matter to him.
This is beneath me.
It doesn't
She's
matter to
wrong.
Him. He's running. He's usually running Celesteela. Celesteela doesn't care about spikes, and it barely cares about rocks.
And then I have Magic Guard. That's whatever.
Yeah, and then he runs. Yeah, so he never cares.
That's a really good point.
And, this one had 2 hazard removal mons, which might have been too many.
No,
but that's fine. I liked having the option of both of them. And these are the 2 that you gave to me. So, like, we have Ludicolo. Ludicolo, for those of you unaware, he's actually a really decent Pokemon. And he's in what? NU?
PU, actually.
PU? What?
Yep.
Why is he in PU? Okay, so, like, you guys are going to be blown away after you read his stats, because his stats are way better than PU, in my opinion.
It's typing, I think, really.
It might be the he is weak to flying, which is really sad.
Weak to flying. I think he's still weak to ice.
No, neutral.
No, it's not.
Weak to flying, poison, and bug.
His only weakness is, flying,
poison,
bug. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense, actually, with those 3.
Yeah, well, flying and poison are both seeing a lot more usage in terms of attacks, and then bug's and kind of there.
The typing new really turn. Neutralizes a lot of things. It doesn't grant a lot of resistances that are worthwhile.
No, he's only resistant to ground, steel, and water. Yeah. That's all he's resistant to. And so he has 80 HP, 70 attack, 70 defense, 90 special attack, 100 special defense, and 70 speed. All of these aren't that bad. It's not that bad. And he gets Rain Dish, but that's never what you use on
nope.
him. You use Swift Swim.
Not in OU,
but we did anyway. We did anyway.
In OU, we don't use Rain Dish.
No. Not, you don't use Rain Dish in OU. No. His hidden ability is his own tempo, which also isn't that good. I do like him, though. He is a great Pokemon that looks like a pineapple.
He does.
And he got that new mention in the Detective Pikachu trailer, which was awesome. It's great. He is the carefree Pokemon.
Which low-key is why he's the Pokemon of the episode.
But it's awesome. So let's break down this team. So we have this team. It's going to be on the website, of course, this week. So make sure you check that out. But I'll start. I'll open up with the two that I'm going to look at. So we have a couple of Pokemon here. And I'm going to talk about the two flying types. So we're running Ludicolo with Swift Swim. So you want Rain. You got to bring that Pelipper.
The flying type?
He was transitioning.
I've got the flying type. So you got to bring that Pelipper. You got to bring that Pelipper with that Damprock, with that Drizzle. This week we were running Roost, U-Turn, Scald, and Defog. I think I would have been okay with Hurricane in the Defog slot this week. But Defog also wasn't bad to have either.
I didn't want you to yell at me anymore.
I liked having both options. It wasn't bad. Like it's like on the cusp of me going, no, this is okay. I'll live with that. And 248 HP to mitigate poison damage as much as you can, and stealth rock damage. 252 defense and 8 special defense. I mean, it's Pelipper. It's pretty standard. It gets Rain up. It comes in. And it maybe gets Scald off. If not, it gets out or heals itself to make sure that it can set Rain later. And then the one after that is Tornadus Therian, which is also really good on most Rain teams, just because you pretty much neutralize most things that would come after it. And you run Knock Off, Hurricane, and Defog once again, just because you want to get rid of those hazards, and then U-Turn. And why are we running... So, Seth, you're going to have to explain this set to me,
yeah.
This spread. It's probably the standard Smogon spread, but 248 HP, obviously, for Toxic damage and Stealth Rock damage.
Mm-hmm.
56 defense and then 204 speed. What's up with that?
Let me pull it up real fast. It is the standard Smogon for...
I believe that.
For that.
Yeah. And this is Rocky Helmet Regenerator, by the way, so that you're just constantly healing and you're just doing damage to people who try to attack you.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, it's not the standard Smogon. Fun fact.
It's not. We just have this for
what
reasons.
It is the speed is low enough to hit, you know, just whatever. There's nothing.
No,
it's
well,
a weird
you don't need
speed
max
tier.
Speed because it's a weird speed tier.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You don't really need it too much.
Yeah, it's base 121. So, like, it's a weird speed tier in OU to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can probably get away with not max speed. Like, 361, I'm trying to think about what has 360. There's not much that would max out a 360, but you outspeed things like Mega Gallade then and other stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
and it's just bulky. It's meant to absorb hits from things like Medicham, Gallade that could otherwise tear through this team really well.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we've got a lot of kind of fragile things in here.
Yeah. I like this Tornadus though. I'm a really big fan. Tornadus always does really well. I mean, those are my two. They're pretty standard sets, and they do their job. They get rid of the rocks. I like having the knockoff utility on most teams, just because, especially when you're playing stall, you can get rid of some lefties,
mm-hmm.
which always feels really good. But granted, I think there's a couple other members on this team that really, really just like start tearing through the other opponent's teams, regardless of what's happening. And we'll get to those later. But I don't know who wants to go next. You or Shamu?
I guess I can go. And then we have Ludicolo, our rising star. Yep. Yeah. We just run Swift Swim with Life Orb. He's one of our two sweepers of the team, with Hydro Pump, Giga Drain, Ice Beam for just dual stab and coverage, as well as Rain Dance.
I think Rain Dance is good though on him because that really helps if Pelipper's down and you just need you need that last boost, right? You're in on some grass type like Ferrothorn or something, and you can just get away with a Rain Dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like, Ludicolo, let's do it.
You got, I think, enough natural bulk too to list something kind of.
Yeah.
Though we don't really, we've got a lot of neutrals, as we said earlier. It's just, you can at least tank a smaller hit and then just pull off a rain dance or what you need to. We run Modest with max special attack, max speed, and 4 defense since he is a sweeper for us.
He is our sweeper.
We don't really need a max speed. We don't need a speed increasing nature because with Swift Swim, we're hitting about 460, like 480, I think, speed. Something like that. So there's no real reason to have that other nature unless you want to outspeed a base 70 or
he's great. Possible speed I love tie. It.
It's good. The life orb helps get you that extra damage. Rain boost, hydro pump with a life orb.
Oh.
That's going to do some damage.
That's a lot of damage, let me tell you. It's a lot of damage. I'm a fan. He also gets access to like really interesting things, like maybe not for this spread, but maybe if you're trying to play MMPU or something, he has to get access to interesting things like Fake Out.
You get some good like just generic random coverage like the Fake Out. You can run Focus Punch. Like there's Focus Blast. There's a bunch of random moves you can run for like physical or mixed.
Yeah. No, he's great.
You can even get Thunder Punch for a water type and Fire Punch.
He's great. I love him. Yeah. He just does everything. Like, Ludicolo, guys. Like, he's the way to live. I used to run him back in Gen 4 as well. We got that bingo card.
There it is.
I used to run him back in Gen 4 just because, like, when I was getting into competitive... First of all, the competitive scene wasn't, like, super developed like it is now back then. And you could get away with just, like, rain teams with him. Like, you set up some rain. The only rain setter at the time was Kyogre, but you don't run Kyogre. You just set up Rain Dance. And then Ludicolo has lefties. He's running Giga Drain. He's setting up Leech Seed. And unless you have a flying type or a bug type or...
Poison.
Or a poison type, which wasn't very common back then. Poison type moves weren't very common until fairy type. And most of these things weren't very scary. So... You could just live forever with the Ludicolo in the rain. Yeah.
And back then you can go for the bulky aspect of Ludicolo. It's got 100 base special defense.
Yeah, that's not bad either. Like 100 base special defense combined with what is it? Like 80 or 70 base HP? I said it already.
It's 80.
80, yeah. Combined with that, that's not bad.
Yeah. But enough with Gen 4. Our other sweeper for rain team is Swampert. Which we have with the Mega Stone, Torrent base ability, with Earthquake, Waterfall, Ice Punch, and Stealth Rock for one of our hazard setters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not familiar with the spread here, but it's got 100.
Oh, go for it. Yeah,
it's got 128 HP. It's adamant with 248 attack EVs and then 140 speed. I assume the speed just
you don't need max things. Speed on Mega Swampert.
No, like, you really don't.
I just don't. Yeah, I know you don't need it, but I just didn't. I'm not familiar with, like...
Because you're going fast anyway. You're like Sanic, okay? Over here at the speed of sound. Because, like, 382 speed is where he'll hit. Actually, that's a little slow. I would want him to outspeed Tapu Koko. And that does not... That does outspeed Ash Greninja, though, which is important.
Does it not outrun Koko?
It doesn't outrun Ash Greninja either. Ash Greninja's a 397.
No, it hits 422, yeah.
Oh, it hits 422?
Yeah.
Because that's what Ludicolo and Swampert have the same base speed.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to outrun a little bit faster, yeah. We need to go a little bit faster there. we have to work that out.
It might be different on the team of the episode post, so...
Yes, we're going to have to fix that. Because, yeah, I just realized we don't outspeed Dash Greninja. At least they think you do. Like, that's the big thing.
Mind games. Those mind games, you know?
They think you do on the ladder. They get scared. So, definitely watch out. But Swampert's just, he hits hard. The Stealth Rock's there because what's fourth move are you going to put on Swampert?
If anything, it'd be just coverage and you really don't need it because you already got your
Ice Punch, Waterfall, and Earthquake hit pretty much everything.
Just about, yeah. The only thing you could add is, like, maybe, like, a fighting or a rock or something.
You could run Superpower or Stone Edge, technically. But, like, you have Ice Punch, and then you have... Like, Superpower is the only one I could see maybe using.
You can use Superpower, yeah. Or, like, depending what you want. Like, Superpower would be better. Never mind. You got the attack stat for it.
Yeah, Superpower would be better.
You could always... There's always Power Punch for those, like, gimmicks.
Yeah, okay. Move on. Yeah. Get your Power Punch garbage out of here.
You don't want Bite? You don't want Bite, no?
All right. Seth, take us home.
You bet. First off, a couple EV clarifications that I just want to make. You are right. It does hit 422 speed because Swampert Mega is actually 10 base points faster than base.
Mm-hmm. Same speed as Ludicolo.
Yeah. So that does outspeed Ash Greninja.
It does.
It does. It's so therefore it also outspeeds Coco. So
good.
And okay, Choice Scarf Heatran, as common as that is. Additionally,
it used to be.
Yeah, it used to be. Additionally, the Tornadus speed tier, it's just dropped to outspeed the only relevant other thing that's in that speed tier, which is Scarf Magnezone. So you can U-turn out of it.
Yeah. Okay, that's 360. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
So that's a couple EV clarifications. Other than that, though,
I was wondering, I'm like, what's 360? And Magnezone's the answer.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's why we're at 361. Let's take that.
Yep.
The last two mons.
All right.
We've got another Hazard Setter and Rain Staple in Ferrothorn with a Nature and EVs and everything in order to take on Ash Greninja, which ironically is your biggest threat, really, because you give it Rain, making it far easier for it to transform and use Water Shuriken. So you've got to be really careful with it. Ferrothorn has Spikes, Power Whip, Gyro Ball, and Leech Seed, fairly standard set. Gives it some recovery, gives it some offense. And, you know, Ferrothorn is Ferrothorn. It does Ferrothorn things. And
absolutely.
Finally.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can go into when it's one of the most common things in OU. Finally, we have a surprising addition to a Rain team. Until you think about it a little bit more, we have Volcarona. And it's got a timid nature, four defense EVs, whatever, max special attack, max speed, with the moveset Quiver Dance, Bug Buzz, Fire Blast, and Hurricane, holding a Flyinium Z. Now, Seth, you might be thinking, why on earth would you run a fire type on a Rain team? You neutralize its best stab. The answer is because Kartana and Ferrothorn are some of the biggest Rain threats, and what stops them? Volcarona.
Volcarona.
What can KO them even through rain? Volcarona. What else do you do when it's not raining? Volcarona.
Volcarona.
And Hurricane is also really cool to run with it. You can have suddenly, all of a sudden, this monstrous coverage move and combine it with Flyinium Z for something that no one is expecting, just out of the blue. It can also KO a Scolipede through Protect. Fun fact. At plus one with two layers of spikes, as we found out in one of our test matches. So it's fun. It's a good time.
So grab that while it's up there. And if you are a patron, we're going to be putting up that shiny Ludicolo for you guys. We didn't get to the mini year last week because of my move, but we will be doing Ludicolo this week. So watch out for that. You'll get a Ludicolo. Also, if you're not a patron, you can download a similar Ludicolo as well. Just check out our social media and we'll be posting where that is. And it'll be at our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. All of the information, even if you're not a patron, you can read the post. So check that out. So we are going to kick it on over, guys, to the mailbag.
It's mail time. It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And as always, if we remember, we'll give out the Green Tauros badge, but I probably won't, to anybody who actually sparks some good discussion in the mailbag. So if you're a new listener, you can send us an email at pucklepodcast@gmail.com answering what question we ask every week. So first, our question was, what do you think will happen this week during the Pokemon Direct? We got one email about it, but then that person later adapted the email to the second mailbag question is, if an announcement does happen, what are your thoughts on it? So we're going to jump right into this mailbag. Our first one is from the King of the Seas, and he originally wrote an email saying that nothing was going to happen for this week. Boy, was he wrong. So, hey, Puckle, the King of the Seas, he is here for an update to the mailbag. Okay, I was wrong. Very, very wrong, but also really hype. Since I'm writing this right after I finished watching the 6-minute long direct, England, although we were kind of spoiled for it, is an absolutely amazing place to set a Pokemon game. Because of its well-versed history, varied culture, and extremely unique myths, Lancelot is not one of them. I absolutely love the starters, though. Not a single ugly or generic one. To be honest, I saw England coming, but their mix of Let's Go and Go art styles a tad been annoying to me. I didn't think it was. Do you guys think it was like a mix between those two?
I can kind of see it. Just 3D model.
I didn't think it was as chibi as Let's Go.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Pokemon themselves are kind of close.
I thought it was pretty close to more of a... it was closer to, like, the next evolution of what Sun and Moon was going to be.
Yeah.
It kind of... It's because they kind of took like, the trainer sprite, like, the fight, too, kind of from, like, Let's Go. I can see it, but I'm kind of, like... I think it's more of, like, as you said, the upgrade from Gen 7.
Yeah, I think it's more of just, like, an upgrade, like, hey, what's the next step going to be? And I think this was just the natural next step, and Let's Go was kind of that as well, because it was the first one on the Switch.
It was, like, the half step. It was, like, the half step, yeah. This is the full step.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like Nintendo's playing it a bit safe with the game, just to keep that tentative Let's Go fan base. They're not tentative. They're going to be here. I mean, some of them will be here, some of them won't, but a lot of them will be. Anyways, that's all I can update on without ruining it for everyone else. I must return to my soggy bacon now. Bye, King of the Seas. Yeah, I didn't think the artwork was too different for those, but I could have been wrong. So this next one is from Mido.
Yep, and I got this. Dear Thatch and his top-notch dance trope. So it happened. I am officially from a Pokemon region at last. Hoorah. Pokemon quite right, and do you want a couple look amazing, and I couldn't be happier.
Those are the right names.
I'm terrible. I've been personally calling it Pokemon Tea and Crumpets, so...
It's pretty close, though, too. I'd be okay with it being Pokemon Tea and Crumpets.
Anyway, I'm a Sobble kid, but all three starters... the three starters, but the region and absolutely everything looks beautiful. I hope there's pubs, multiple churches on the same street that rival each other, citizens from neighboring towns despising each other, and most importantly, an intense punk scene. The stadium seemed to be the new gimmick, with the new gym logo for these stadiums being the Japanese logo, much like the Z Crystals and Mega Evolution. Something's going on here. What do you guys think they could do with it? Looking forward to hearing your ideas. Much love, Mido, the Galar region.
So it's really interesting to bring up the fact that the logo is on not only the Japanese logo, but also on the shirt. Pokemon gyms.
Yeah, and the gyms and the shirt and everything.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that just has to do, like, I don't know, maybe their new gimmick is, hey, these aren't like gyms in the traditional sense, but they're more like a sports competition or something like that. And you're doing that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do. And like it's spinning because it's like a soccer ball spinning.
Yeah.
Right? I'd be okay with something like that, though, where maybe the battles are slightly different in the gyms. Maybe they're not your traditional single 1v1 battles, but something with like, I'm thinking like rotation battles. You know what I mean? But not quite rotation battles.
Super training.
I would also really like an idea where it's not just 1v1s or anything like that, where you bring in all six like you have been in traditional Pokemon games, but they force you, just like the anime, to be like, oh, this is a 3-on-3 match. You have to pick three. I'd be okay with that.
Limiting you to pick certain Pokemon.
Yeah, if you want a challenge in the region, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I would be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the time where they can kind of take the cuffs off or take the ankle weights off, and they could be like, okay, you guys who want a real Pokemon game, we have Let's Go for the newbies. Old-time Pokemon fans, not real Pokemon fans. That's a horrible derogatory term. But more traditional Pokemon fans, here's the game with more challenge that you've been wanting.
I kind of would like that achievement system and like that hard mode to come back. It'd be kind of fun to have that as an option.
I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Right. So thanks, Mido. Thanks for that. Our next email is going to be from Alex. He just calls himself Alex.
All right. I got this one. Hello, Thatch and crew. I've been listening to the show for about a year now and just started contributing on Patreon because I enjoy it so much.
Well, appreciate that.
I absolutely loved the trailer for Generation 8. Like most, I expected 6 out of the 7 minutes to be dedicated to spin-off games or other stuff that doesn't interest me, but we get a good chunk of Gen 8. And we did. That was like, we just got pretty much like, a minute of just talking about something, and then we're just all trailer.
Yeah, I was okay with that. Like, I really like that. It felt very much, again, like the Gen 6 trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I keep saying that over and over again. It felt a lot like Gen 6. And I think it's because of the release, and also just because of the culture and the style.
And it just gave us, like, a good feel for, like, the generation, too. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, here's this, like, now we're immersing you in this atmosphere. And that's what it really felt like. Like, I saw the world there. And
I got a really good feeling for it, which is good. I liked that in the trailer. I liked it better than the Sun and Moon announcement, where it was just like, here's logos.
Yeah, it's pretty much, Although it seems like there won't be any huge changes, I kinda hope to change things up with Elite Four, with sports soccer theme, Sword and Shield have. It would be awesome if Elite Four was replaced with a league similar to what is in the anime. Maybe the game could have 31 or more pre-made trainers with competitive teams that will simulate the battle so that every time you play against the league, it's a new experience. That would be interesting.
They could probably do something like that, kind of like when you were playing in Sun and Moon and you did the Elite Four, and at the end it was always a different quote-unquote champion because you were the champion.
Defense.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I'm interested. I don't know if they'll do it, though, as a thing. Mm-hmm. But I would be interested to see if they did that, or something side on the side that has something like that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. This could also act as a replacement for the Battle Tower, which I have been wanting to make return very badly. I appreciated the effort to change things up from gyms in Gen 7, and I'm a little disappointed that it seems like gyms are back like usual. Are there any things you guys hope is changed up? Thanks for making a consistently great podcast, Alex.
Well, let's look at anything that I hope has changed up. Not really. I kind of hope they go back to like a lot of things.
Kind of me too.
I feel like they've kind of like gone out, and then like this is the time to come home a little bit and make me feel safe, and then we can go out again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm okay with just like a safe Pokemon game, and I think that's what they're doing because it's a new console. Let them figure out everything. Not too many new mechanics. Let them just kind of go to town and have fun. Right?
Yeah. Because honestly, too, you also mentioned going from wild Pokemon, the overworld, back to random encounters, a huge step backwards. Honestly, it's by putting it, like, seen in the overworld, you're kind of, like, taking away from that old, like, hey, here's this like, oh, I just finally found this Pokemon or something like that. It reduces that whole encounter chance. Like,
you kind of had that in Let's Go. I just don't think it was as exciting.
No, because, like, I'd rather go into an experience not knowing what I'm gonna get, and if I'm disappointed, I'm disappointed, but it's like, hey, I get it, I'll be much happier. And like, the same thing with shinies, like, I don't want to see a shiny in the overworld, I'd rather just get into the counter and see it, and it's much more of a reaction there, too, and it's like,
I'm of a different opinion.
I like having that kind of like, pull the veil away from you, right? Like, pull the veil, what's behind door number one?
Yeah.
Type feel. But yeah, go ahead, Seth. I know you have opinions.
Yeah, I was just saying, I have a very different opinion on that. I really like the overworld. That's one of the reasons I like Let's Go and could keep playing it for the bazillionth time being in Kanto. But I liked being in the Pokemon world. And if I am doing a post-game thing and I just really don't want to battle Pokemon, I could make that choice. I could walk around them, which was really nice. And, you know, if I saw something really cool, run up to it, see how it interacts with the environment, things like that. I really love
seeing interact with the environment.
I'm saying what it could have done more. Like, I know it didn't interact with the environment in Let's Go, but it could have in this game. Like, seeing a grass type look up at a berry bush and be messing with it or something like that. That could have happened. They have the power.
Yeah.
And I would have liked that. That would have been really cool and really kind of made me, the character, feel part of the Pokemon world and not just England, but also Pokemon battles.
Yeah.
I think, too, the reason they're doing random encounters I thought about now is, like, this is a new gen. We have new Pokemon. They're not going to reveal all these Pokemon as an overworld sprite.
Well, they've already shown that there's random encounters, right? Like I said, I think the best way to get your kind of middle ground, like I said, Seth, is Dexnav.
Yep.
Like a Dexnav-esque item. Because...
Yeah.
We both disagree, obviously. Like, I think it was cute for Let's Go. I don't think it's cute for a real Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Like, again, real is a derogatory term, but I think it's for a traditional Pokemon game, I don't think that it's good, because if you're going to go and you're going to play the game, I get way more excitement out of walking through the grass and being like, oh, I've never seen this one before, right? When it pops up. And I feel like I would miss out a little bit. It's just like if I walked into a new route and there's a ton of new Pokemon. I think one, it would be overwhelming for me, and two, I feel like it would ruin a lot of the surprise.
That's true.
That's just me though. Like I mean, maybe other people feel that way, but that's how I feel about it. And I'm happy to see the return. And if we want that middle ground, like let's hope for Dexnav. Let's just hope. All right, but thank you for that, Alex. So our last one today is going to be from Moriarty.
And I've got this one again, starting from the top. Yo, I'm pretty excited about Gen 8. I know a lot of people are down on Score Bunny, but its final Evo is all but guaranteed as a sport-based special strike with that ability that boosts sphere moves as its hidden ability. So I'm way down. That's kind of cool sounding. kind of like...
That sounds really cool, actually.
Kind of like Mega Launcher, but...
Mega Launcher?
Yeah. Mega Launcher, but spheres. That means it gets Aura Sphere, which means it's a fighting type.
It'd be ball and... Aura Sphere's a part of Mega Launcher, they just probably have to get a
fighting type.
Because Aura Sphere energy... Mega Launcher includes ball moves, I believe. No, does it?
I
don't remember.
It's weird.
But it includes sphere, I know that. It includes like sphere and pulses and all that stuff.
Anyway.
I can look that up real
also,
quick.
Also, given the region, I really want a Galapagos-style post-game/mid-game mini-region with regional variants so that they thematically make sense, since those are cooler than Mega Evolutions, in my opinion. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Finally, I'm excited for a Delahan Pokemon and to play as a
Delahan.
I couldn't. I didn't know. I attempted.
I don't know. I don't know either. So
Delahan Pokemon. We're gonna go with that. And to play as a rude Scottish lass drinking her way through the Poke England and destroying the no doubt easy story mode with Snorlax/Tyranitar. Later, Moriarty.
Oh, right. So that is it for our mailbag this week. I honestly think that our new patron Alex actually did the best of like giving us a good conversation to go off of. So I'd like to give him a Green Taurus badge if you guys all agree.
Yeah,
I'm all right with it. Yeah,
done. Alex, you can ask for it on the Discord server. We'll give you that bright green roll.
Which we should. Who's the second person that said it? Because we had two Alex.
This is the only one that called himself Alex in the actual email. And then, of course, if you guys want to do more Puckle stuff, first of all, we're running a contest on our social media right now for a giveaway of a pre-order of Pokemon Sword or Shield. So if you haven't already, go grab one of those. We do have a special code that you can get extra entries into it. It'll only work for like the first 50 people that do it. And so that is Thatch version and Scrawn version are both of those codes. You can try one of each. If people get there before you, unfortunately you can't claim them, but you can try at least. You can try, because I didn't realize how I set it up was incorrect.
You want to spell that out, Thatch?
Thatch, THATCH space version, VERSION, and then Scrawn version is SCRON version.
Does capitalization matter?
They're capitals for the beginning of the first two words, yes.
Because I know those were questions that were going to come up.
Yeah, they definitely are. And so you can put those in to get some extra entries. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Reddit. You can follow us on now Instagram, where we're going to start using that a little bit more just to get some more pokey pictures into your life. So make sure you follow Puckle over there on that Instagram account of yours, because I know you have one. All of these help you give more entries into this free copy of Sword and Shield and also potentially $140 of PokemonCenter.com credit, and you can just go ham and buy things. Check out the post for more details. Of course, you can also do more things in the meantime. One, you can go check out our Patreon at patreon.com/PokePodcast. Help support the show. Get some cool swag. I think we're going to start sending out the Bosifus cards here this week or next week to the patrons. It's mostly depending on my trip to Ithaca. And then after that, we're going to be going, of course, to from there. You can always check out our Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where we stream. Me, Orange, and Jushiro all stream on various nights of the week. So you can watch us play some Pokemon and come and talk with us and hang out. It's a great time. And if you want to catch more stuff, you can catch out the YouTube, the Puckle YouTube, Puckle Podcast at YouTube. Because we're posting a bunch of battle videos for all of our tournaments with Piddle starting up. That's going to be a really exciting time. So definitely check that out if you haven't already. I think that's my typical spiel. If you want to support the show outside of Patreon, you can do so by going to TeePublic as well and getting some cool swag, such as the Kona, what is it? The Kona Diamond Heads.
You can get that queen-size tapestry to put on your bed like I know everyone wants to. Or is that just me?
And Seth is going to sleep with it every night.
It's my blankie.
So I'm going to be back in your earballs here after this segment with an interview from JPR PokeTrainer 98. However, we're going to be leaving Shamu and Seth here, unfortunately. So it's closing time for these two guys.
Back to the basement.
It's closing.
Back to the closet.
Back to the closet.
Back
with
to
you.
Flooring Thatch's house.
We'll see you guys later. Thanks for showing up. And we're going to kick it on over to this interview.
Puckle presents a special interview.
welcome to a special interview here at the Puckle Podcast. We have with us today, JPR, Poke Trainer 98 from the YouTubes here today. So welcome to the show. We really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, how about we just ask you right away, who are you and what do you do? What do you want people to know?
All right, so I'm a Pokemon YouTuber. I've been around for a very long time, almost 10 years, which is really hard to believe.
Wow.
63,000 subscribers on YouTube, so not bad. Not the best channel, not the worst channel, but hey, you know, I'm hanging in there. And I just make a variety of Pokemon content. Like sometimes I do like these fact-based videos. Sometimes it's top five, sometimes it's top tens. Sometimes it's reviews. I just kind of do a little bit of everything now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's part of the reason we found you was because you just do a lot of these videos. I've got some questions about some specific videos here in a little bit. But before we do that, we're just going to find out a little bit more about you Pokemon wise. And we're just going to ask you a few questions real quick back to back. If you're ready to go, I've got those ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So first of all, basic question, favorite Pokemon. Who's your favorite?
It has to be Arcanine. Arcanine was the first Pokemon I used all the way through Pokemon Red version way back in the day. And he didn't obey me half the time because he was traded from a friend for my Squirtle. Because of that, Arcanine has just always been the best. I love dogs, too, and fire types. So, you know, Arcanine, he fits everything.
Perfect, perfect. So favorite type, then, is fire? That's the next one.
Fire's probably my second favorite type, to be honest, actually. I really like electric types just because most of them are like really fast glass cannon. I kind of like that kind of build, and a lot of electric types fit that. So I love electric types.
Okay, okay. First Pokemon game. What was your first Pokemon game?
Let's see. Well, like I said, I played through Red, and that wasn't like my first one that I actually owned. The first one I owned was actually Gold. So I consider Gold more my first than Red.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I understand that. A lot of people do that, especially like if you're just not old enough when Pokemon came out, you grab the second one and then you go back to the first one.
Mm-hmm. It's just like my cousin was like, yeah, play Red for like a couple days. So it's like, all right, cool. I'll do this.
Understandable. So what's your favorite Pokemon game then so far?
My favorite by far has to be Black and White, which was surprising because when it first came out, I was not a fan. I was like, wow, Pokemon look weird and the plot is weird and nothing seems like it usually is. And as time passed, I was like, wow, I really like Black and White. So, yeah.
No, I agree with that entirely. I think it's aged very well.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay, so Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle, they're in front of you on a table and you got to choose one now. Who do you pick?
Oh, I gotta go with the underdog Squirtle.
I don't know if Squirtle's the underdog. I think that's interesting choice to call it the underdog.
Bulbasaur is more the underdog, but Squirtle's nice middle ground. You go Bulbasaur and you're like, you're too far out of the way. You go Charmander and you're too mainstream. So I like my boy Squirtle.
That's good. That's just like a good mediocre answer. I like it. All right, so favorite TM. This one's way out there, but I love this question.
Oh, all right. This is interesting to me, but I actually have an answer for that. I love Scald. Scald is a fantastic TM. It's a water move. It burns you. It is base 80, I think, 100 accuracy. It's crazy good, and it teaches Scald to a lot of Pokemon that normally wouldn't learn. Like, I think Emboar is one of them, for example. So, TM Scald is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you had an answer for that. Okay, and then finally, favorite Pokemon spinoff game?
Oh my gosh, I would be a fool to not say Explorers of Sky, Mr. Dungeon. That's absolutely wild. Yeah, fantastic plot, very emotional game. Love it to this day.
Great. All right, so that's all I have in those, but that's great. We know a little bit more about you. You've got good taste in literally everything, so we're on a good start here.
Yeah, that's good to know.
So you said you're a YouTuber. You've been doing YouTube for 10 years now. What got you started, and like what made you want to start?
So what got me started was, I want to say it was like the fall of 2010, and I was kind of just getting acquainted with YouTube. Like, I was more of a casual YouTube watcher back then. Like, I just kind of assumed that YouTube was, you know, the place for skateboarding dog videos, like a lot of people did. And then I think Black and White was coming out at the time, and I was like, all right, this game looks very different compared to every other Pokemon game so far. So I want to get a little bit more information on this. So I went on YouTube, and I was like, let me just try to see like if someone's playing this game or something, because this is back when there was like a six-month gap between Japanese release and English release, and that was just torturous. So I was like, let me just find a few episodes on YouTube so I can form an opinion about this game, right? And I found this one guy. And I was like, all right, I'm going to watch the first episode, next episode. And it was so entertaining and so informative. I ended up watching the entire season. I spoiled the entire game before it even came out. And then I was like, I feel like I could do this. I feel like I could sit down. I could do like a nice, entertaining, informative guide of a new Pokemon game, which little did I know that everyone and their mother does that. So eventually I had to branch out and not just play video games, because unless you're PewDiePie, you're probably not going to make that work nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I like some of your content, and like specifically, I think one of the big things that we saw was you do movie reviews. I've never seen anybody else do like Pokemon movie reviews in a very serious manner like you do.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised with that too. Like, the Pokemon movies are a relatively untackled topic on YouTube. And so I started with, I believe it was the Genesect movie, and then just kept going with every other new movie that has come out since then. And people seem to really enjoy it. I think the last one got like 20,000 views or so. So
yeah,
it's crazy. I love doing the movie reviews, and I love most of the movies. So it's a nice thing to do.
Well, so, like, which one's your favorite? Well, like, which movie have you enjoyed the most, probably?
So, this is definitely not an answer that a lot of people would give. I'm sure most people would probably say, like, Rise of Darkrai or 2000 or the Lucario movie. Those are all very good movies. I would put them, like, in the top tier. Mm-hmm. But my favorite movie, personally, is the Black and White Victini movies.
Really?
Yeah, because I saw the white version in theaters, and I was just really blown away. I was like, wow, not only is this movie very, very good, but they made two versions of it. Like, looking back, I'm like, that was such a weird move, and it just, I don't know, I really appreciated that. Like, that was something very strange, and I think it paid off. I love the plot of the movie. I think it's very well-paced. I think it takes like an hour for stuff to actually get moved. Like, some people say it's a little bit boring. I understand it's a little bit slow compared to some of the other Pokemon movies, but I love it regardless.
Really? I would not have expected that answer. I would not have expected that one.
Yeah, everyone just kind of overlooks it because it's part of the Black and White anime, and they're like, Black and White anime was terrible. And let's face it, it was. So people just kind of look past the movie and say, oh, it's part of Black and White. Let's not watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So being on YouTube, have you ever had any like big issues? Like, have you had any problems, any challenges, things that you've learned along the way that you should do or should not do or you should do?
Oh, man, I have a laundry list.
We'll go through it. We've got the time.
Well, definitely. The name of the game on YouTube is having to adapt at a very fast pace. Like I said, I started off doing walkthroughs of Pokemon games, and that lasted for maybe a year or two. I only had like one successful series on that, and that was Pokemon Rumble Blast when that came out, because that was the perfect storm, because the 3DS was brand new. That was the first Pokemon game on the 3DS. And I think I was like one of two people doing an English walkthrough in that game, which was crazy. So, and also the holidays were approaching as well. Everything, just the stars aligned for that. And that was a very successful series. I mean, I think each part averaged at least like 10,000 views. And I only had like 200 subscribers at the time. So no, it was a big deal for me.
Yeah, that is. That's a huge deal.
So, yeah, but unfortunately, never was able to replicate that success that I had with Rumble Blast. And so then I ended up moving on to Pokemon Facts and Trivia around 2013-ish or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of, you know, fell out of style. And then I picked up Pokemon Top 5s, Top 10s. And just every few years or so, you're going to have to change up what you're about because people's tastes change. And that's very frustrating when you're doing this thing. You're like, okay, I've been doing this and I'm not changing anything. And it's just falling off. Man, what am I doing wrong? It's not really you. Like, you have to look back and say, it's not me that's the issue. Like, maybe it is sometimes, I don't know. But it's more so just like people's tastes change over time, and you have to keep up with that.
That's interesting. That's a good point. I think that's a really, really good point to bring up. Yeah, I mean, we noticed that from our numbers as well, just as a podcast. We absolutely recognize this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you guys have like a ton of topics you're always having to bring up and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
it's rough to do it.
Got to keep up with the new stuff.
Oh, absolutely. It's hard to do it during a downtime as well. Like right now is awful.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, every time after a new game comes out and the hype wears off, you're just like, oh, well, we're stuck doing nothing until the next game gets announced. And that goes for the PokeTubers too. I mean, most of us are just kind of, you know, laying back and waiting for this Gen 8 announcement, wherever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be here soon. It'll be here soon. Maybe by the time this comes out.
hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully by the time this comes out, it will have that announcement. I really hope so. It'll just be a thing in the past. But yeah, so I've noticed like a few other videos of yours. I think one of you did one on mythical Pokemon, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
We did a whole show based on this video that you did, by the way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
We saw this video and we saw that topic and we're just like, man, we can add to this. And so we kind of just added on to it. We reiterated some of your points. But I mean, give the summary.
So roughly a year ago, I made this video about mythical Pokemon and some of the problems that they've faced over the past few years. Like mythical Pokemon used to be like this really big deal, like this very mysterious thing. Like people would say, oh, you have to look underneath a truck to find Mew or something, or you need to get your Japanese copy of Crystal to find Celebi or whatever. And over time, like those stories just kind of went away because it became like, oh, mystery gift, here you go. And there was nothing like in game, like Darkrai. You could go to like the new island and you could find Darkrai, or you could get Shaymin from going to, the name is escaping me right now, but basically like the whole flower path thing to find Shaymin. And then Victini was like the last really big one. You went to Liberty Island. That was actually like, and there was like a Team Plasma like plot tie in there as well. And then it seemed like starting with Generation 6 that they just didn't care about mythicals anymore. They're like, oh yeah, this is just promotion for the movies or whatever, here you go. And so the movies suffered and the game suffered, and it was like, this isn't good for anybody. And I was like, I don't know. I was just like, there's gotta be something here. I thought it wasn't gonna be a popular video. I thought this is something that a lot of people probably don't even think about. And everybody was like, yeah, I agree with you, this video is great. And I was like, oh, all right then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you as well. So following up on that though, how do you feel about Meltan? How do you feel about that Meltan reveal?
So I talked about Meltan in my last video, which was a follow-up to the Mythical Pokemon video. It was called The Solution to Mythical Pokemon. And I actually think that Meltan was handled fantastically. And a lot of people didn't think so at first. People were like, oh my gosh, can't believe Niantic ruined the surprise. They leaked a Gen 8 Pokemon. It's not a Gen 8 Pokemon, it's a Gen 7 Pokemon. But you know, people are like, oh, this is terrible. And now it's just like, wow, they did a fantastic job with Meltan. I mean, they put him out there. They didn't say anything about it for like three whole days or whatever. And everybody just went nuts. Everybody was like, what is this thing? Like, my only hope was that they had like stretched out like a little bit longer. Like, say they dropped Meltan and then they waited like a whole month to talk about it. Oh my gosh, everybody would have been like insane at the end of that time period. I understand why they didn't do that, but that would have been like some quality content for not just the PokeTubers, but I feel like everybody in general would be like, oh my gosh, what is going on with this guy?
I think that's the point, right? I mean, that's just the headcanon that they try to force you to have.
Yeah, I mean, you want to make mythical Pokemon like mysterious, not just in game, but also in the real world. Like, that's what makes them mythical, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree with that. 1000%. I mean, they killed it off in Gen 4, essentially. I mean, they noticed in Gen 4 that they didn't want people using the items to unlock events. They wanted people to actually just get the Pokemon for whatever reason.
They had like the Azure Flute event for Arceus planned out, and then they scrapped it because they're like, oh, kids won't know what to do with this. It's like they could have just like attached a, you know, instruction manual or
they
something.
Did.
I don't know.
That's even worse.
Like, yeah, they even like, take this spear pillar or whatever. Like, I don't know, man.
I think in the announcement of the event, they used to actually put it in the description on Pokemon.com. Like, this is how you use it.
People would have figured out. I don't understand.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's mostly just due to laziness. I mean, I would really like a Volcanion story in the games.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, they had the whole power plant with the steam and whatnot like locked off. People are like, oh, this is gonna be great, we're gonna have a Volcanion location. Nope, it's just gonna sit
Yeah, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Here's hoping that Gen 8 goes ahead and fixes it.
Oh yes, please, Generation 8, please
let's fix that. I mean, so what other kind of videos? Like, what would you say is another favorite video for you to make?
Oh my gosh. Well, like I said, I make so much stuff that's like, you know, just out there. Like, I don't really make like one type of video.
Yeah, absolutely. But what was like your favorite though? Like to make, like what's one of, what another one of your favorites?
I really liked the worst parts of every Pokemon generation, because that was just me like sitting down and venting and stuff. Like it wasn't like it wasn't like an angry kind of vent. It was more like a comical kind of vent. Like, hey, you know, we can all sit down, we can just like point out some flaws the Pokemon game, but have a good time. Like, acknowledge that these games are still good, but they have flaws or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also made a video that wasn't Pokemon related. It was the top five kinds of Smash Brothers players that everybody hates. And I used a lot of my like personal experiences. Like, everybody in that video was like people that I knew in high school. So that was how it was like really fun for me to make. It was like, I was basically telling a story for that entire video about like, yeah, this guy was a total jerk because he played Ganondorf or whatever. And, you know, I would just, you know, do that kind of thing. And that was a really fun video for me, just not only script, but also just to, you know, edit and also commentate as well. So I had a lot of fun with that type of video.
Yeah, that's great. So you say you script. So how long do you typically script for? Like, how long is that video process for you?
All right. So I'd say brainstorming probably takes the longest amount of time. Like, I always think it out like throughout the day, just in my head. Mm-hmm. And it takes maybe a couple hours. Then I get home and usually I have an idea what I'm going to write already. So the scripting process maybe takes no more than an hour, I would say. And then, of course, I record the video. That takes, you know, 10, 15 minutes. Like, I don't have to edit too much when it comes to the actual audio. And then the actual editing for everything else takes an incredibly long time. That's maybe, like, I'd say 2 to 4 hours, depending on what type of video I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I wanted to, I could probably push out a video, like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 videos a week. But, God, it's a lot of work. So,
yeah.
So one of the reasons why I've slowed down over the years is, my goodness, the more you edit, the longer it takes. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you met anybody cool through this, like through YouTube, through your process or anything? Have you gone to like VidCon or something like that?
I have not been to VidCon, unfortunately, but I have gone to the Pokemon World Championships in 2014, the year that Pachirisu won everybody's hearts, actually. And then I went to SmashCon last year.
Oh.
And at both of those events, I met, I think 2014, I met GCPM11, who is another YouTuber. He was the one who's like Black and White walkthroughs back in the day inspired me to make my channel. So that was a big deal for me. And then I showed him like my business card. He was like, oh, I've seen this before. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, that's validation right there.
Yeah.
And then Shofu said the same thing at SmashCon. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, he's like, oh, I've seen your videos before. And I was like, that's crazy. Shofu and GCPM11 have seen my videos. I mean, that's like a sense of fulfillment right there. And then just online, not in person, but like online, I've met people like the fourth gen gamer, KG Prestige, just a lot of like really friendly people. And it's funny because normally it's not us like talking to each other, organizing these things. A lot of times it was our fan bases that kind of mingled together and was like, you should collaborate with this guy because he does a similar content to you. And now we're great friends. So, you know, it's stuff like that that's like really, really cool about YouTube, is that sometimes the community pushes you in the direction of these people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I understand. Absolutely. We have the same thing in the Pokemon podcast community as well. So we definitely have a lot of people, our fans push each other towards, or push us towards each other.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
Absolutely. So is there anything else you want to bring up? Anything you want to throw out there that people should know about you?
Ooh, well, I don't know about me in general. I would just say, like, I would just give like some general YouTube advice. And I would say that you definitely need to have just a niche on YouTube. Like, don't try to fit the mold that everybody else does. And I know that's hard with Pokemon, because Pokemon is incredibly like oversaturated on YouTube. And there's just, I mean, try to name a bunch of PokeTubers. Like, you can name like 100 easily, like with numbers that are mine or bigger. And so if, it's crazy. It's very, very hard to find a video that someone hasn't done before. But odds are, if you find that and you do it well, it's going to work out. So don't be like me in the beginning and sit down and be like, let me do a Pokemon Black and White walkthrough and it'll just get 1,000 views, you know, really easy. No, because everyone's doing that. You do not see in the search results all the millions of YouTubers have tried to do the same thing and have failed. You only see like the top 10. So definitely try to find your own thing and do it well. That's what I had to say.
I agree with that. I can agree with that. But yeah, I think that's all I have for you today. So I want to thank you once again for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you again for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. I loved this conversation was great. From one creator to another, it's just fun to talk about creation, content creation. So that's really great. So where can people find you? Just drop your links. Let people know.
They can find me on, of course, youtube.com/JPRPokeTrainer98. And they can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/JPRPT98 or just at JPRPT98. That works as well.
Perfect.
And also have a Discord server, so you can check that out. It's always in the description of my videos. So that's nice, too.
Awesome. So, yeah, this JPR98, thank you for showing up. And thank you to everybody else who's listening to this. We are going to get you right back to your regular programming. And with that, guys, we're going to have to leave you today. Thanks for listening. If you want more Puckle, you can always check out Puckle Plus on Thursday when I believe Battlecast, TCG Cast, and probably a new Puckle Live will all be dropping simultaneously, so you can get a lot of Puckle in your week this Thursday, or at least at some point this week. I'm not sure if it'll be Thursday exactly. We're trying to get back on track. So please check those things out if you haven't already, guys. We really appreciate it. So until next time, I'm Trainer Thatch, and here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. And thank you, of course, to our patrons for helping us with the show. So thank you to Greg, Viger, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Andrea, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Shamu, Snag, Dexio, Christian, Jushiro, Rotted, Alvaren, Seth Vilo, Minor Manetric, Claude9, Taylor, Alex, R Sigma, Nathan, The Golden Klefki, The British Gent, Trevor, TJ, Doc Knox, Dennis, Echo, Michael, Shambles, Birdkeeper Cobra, Jeremy, Louise, Wade, Kevin, Justin, Eric, Tank, Jonathan, Greg, Bodtack, Mikey, Kevin, Half Full Reviews, Rory, Sparky, Nick, Dylan, Shira, Ironcaster, Orange Avenger, Thomas, Zero, Curtis, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Joseph, Treby, and Alex. Thanks again, guys. We really appreciate it. And watch out for more Puckle Patreon exclusive stuff coming to you in the near future. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.